President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, your voice of truth and hope across this great country, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Well, there's a lot happening across America. Our starting point today is from Atlanta, Georgia, where a radical megachurch pastor has stirred up quite the hornet's nest, and he delivered a sermon on Sunday that really was so grossly offensive. I am just surprised that lightning did not strike the church house and specifically the pulpit at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Now, this is not the first time we have gotten wind of one of these so-called preachers using their churches and their church houses to attack President Trump and Trump supporters. But this one was really egregious because the pastor was calling out black Trump supporters. So you might remember last week, and we told you about this lavish Black History Month celebration, this reception they had at the White House, and President Trump incredibly gracious. And the pastor of this church, a guy by the name of Jamal Bryant, and this guy is, you're going to hear from him in just a moment, but and it's important for you to hear the full context of the clip so you get an idea of who this guy really is. But just a couple of weeks ago, he was the same guy that was spewing from the pulpit this racist hatred against Trump supporters in general and said that God was going to run all of you MAGA people out of the government. Why this guy's tax-exempt status has not been revoked is beyond me. So anyway, you're about to hear from Pastor Jamal Bryant, the pastor of this mega church, a church, by the way, that invited Kamala Harris to preach. So you kind of figure out what kind of a church this is. Cut number nine, please.
Been praying for me all week. You've been nervous all week, but I ain't afraid of the spooks that sat at the door. These runaway slaves hiding in the White House gonna throw my picture up thinking that I'm gonna be afraid. If you got real courage, don't show my picture. Show the picture of the one that fired the black joint chief of staff from the military. If you gonna show a picture of the CEO of Target, Walmart, McDonald's, and Amazon that does not recognize black dollars or black business. If you gonna put up a picture of the state legislators in Florida that are banning black books. If you gonna put up the picture of the one who is stealing classified information from the IRS and Social Security. If you gonna put up a picture of those that don't want your mama to pay $35 for insulin and your child to pay $35 for inhaler. Oh. If you gonna put up a picture of those that are jailing children and separating families. I ain't ever scared. In case you forgot, I'm from the west side of Baltimore. Oh. If you got a problem, pull up on
Stokely Carmichael said, our fathers had to run, but my generation is out of breath. We ain't running no more.
Yea, though I walk. And after being on the run for 26 years from Saul and Philistines, David said, my running days are over. We don't have to run anymore. You only run when you're scared. But you walk when you got confidence. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, I ain't running nowhere.
I ain't
be
running
like
nowhere.
A tree. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'm not going to run when nobody is chasing me, but I'm going to walk like a smooth operator. I got to walk because I understand that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. All these other churches might not say nothing, but at 6400 Woodrow, we right outside of Decatur, where it's greater. You got to understand that there is more for us than there are against us. Look at your neighbor and say, as long as we stick together, we ain't gotta run. Harriet Tubman said, whenever I tried to make our people be free, there were a few Negroes that tried to go backwards and tried to risk our freedom. I feel bad for them coons in the White House who are in there tap dancing for massa, wearing bow ties, shinning and grinding, laughing like nothing is funny. Get out of there, Negro, and stand with your people so that you understand that God is on our side.
All right. So I'm about to pull up on the preacher here for a minute and tell him some cold, hard truth, preacher. God ain't on your side. God's not on the side of what was spewing, the filth spewing out of that man's mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to hear this because you have to hear the entire context. This is not something that was just off the cuff. This is what's happening in churches. And by the way, it's not just this particular church in Atlanta, Georgia. We told you about the preacher that was calling for violence against Republicans in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is happening all over the country. That's what's going on here. You've got the left, and they have infected these churches. Now, the pastor is, and I use that term very loosely, but I want to break down a couple of things this pastor said because they're enraged right now. The pastor, when Kamala Harris got up to speak at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, he actually said this from the pulpit. He said, black people are getting ready to elect the next president of the United States. You know what? Turns out that was true. But it turned out to be Donald Trump that the black Americans elected in droves, in record numbers. And you want to know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because for the black people of America, Election Day was also Political Emancipation Day. I said it, Political Emancipation Day. And when people were going to the ballot box all over America, from Memphis to Detroit to Atlanta, Georgia, and they walked into those polling stations and they pulled the lever, they wrote it out on their paper ballot, and they shouted, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free. At last, they loosed the chains, and they escaped the Democrat Party's oppressive plantation. And that, preacher, is what happened on Election Day. You filthy man. This is not a man of God. A man of God would not use the pulpit to spew racist rhetoric. A man of God is not going to threaten critics with violence. A man of God is not going to use the house of God to stoke the flames of division. What's happening in churches like that is very dangerous for this country because you heard the crowd. There were thousands of people in that room. By the way, it wasn't a sanctuary. That was not a holy place. That was a demonic place. And thousands of people standing up and cheering and hooting and hollering. And I don't know what's going on with that preacher. I don't mean him ill at all, but somebody needs to get him to a doctor. A respiratory expert or therapist, because something's not right there with the, what was with the snorting and the gasping of air? Jeez, Alou. We can't even, we've tried to mimic that on the air for you, but we can't figure it out. I say to you, Jeez, hello. Nobody wants to hear that. Can you imagine a 90-minute sermon like that? So let me explain something to you about the people like Jamal Bryant. And I'll invite the guy on the program. I'd love to have a conversation with a thug like that. He's a theological thug, that guy. He's a no-account, mediocre, race-baiting hustler, just like Al Sharpton. Now, the Bible talks about this, and I don't want to make this a theological discussion here, but I do want to say something for just a moment. The Bible speaks of people like this preacher Bryant, and they call people like him jackals and spiritual beasts. That's what that's what the good book says. And the Bible says, watch out for the false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That's what that was. But the idea, and I'm just outraged over this, because I know many, many black conservatives, patriots one and all. They don't wear skin color on their sleeves. They go out there, work hard every single day, raise their families, try to make sure their kids are getting a good education, working their butts off in their small businesses just like everybody else. The Asians and the whites and the Hispanics, we're all struggling in the same boat here. But to get out there and to compare people who are voting Republican as coons, runaway slaves, you know what they were running away from? They were running away from the tyranny and the oppression of the Democrat Party and their politics. So I'll give the pastor credit there. People were running away. But to use that sort of racist language to describe people that you just disagree with politically, that is not a man of God, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are in a church, and hear me on this, and if you're in a church, and I don't care what kind of a church it is, we got churches in the Memphis area that are spewing this pro-illegal immigration nonsense. I don't care who you are, what denomination you are, what your skin color is, but if you're in a church that's spewing that kind of hatred, you need to get your butt up out of the pew and out of that church. Because that's not a church. That's a political operative. Now, my good friend Charlie Daniels, who died several years ago, and Charlie was a regular on the show for years. Charlie wrote a popular country music song many years ago. You might remember it. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. It's a great song. But it turns out the devil really did go down to Georgia, and it looks like he took up residence in the pulpit of the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. You okay with that kind of rhetoric coming from a pulpit? And honestly, why aren't we pulling the tax-exempt statuses of these? These are not churches. This is about electioneering. They're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching hate. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And again, all this week, we want to welcome our brand-new affiliates, part of the Real Talk Radio Network, coming out of Missouri, St. Louis, KRTK 93.3 FM, KVMO 104.3 FM, and KRTE 107.3 FM. We love you guys. Welcome to the family. We'll be right back. On February 28th, let me tell you what Focus Features is doing. They're inviting you to experience the most inspirational film of the year. It's based on an extraordinary true event, Last Breath. And it tells the story of a deep sea diver trapped at the bottom of the ocean, only 10 minutes of oxygen left, and he struggles to navigate the pitch black abyss while his teammates devise a daring plan to save him from certain death. So what happens next? Some people call it impossible. Others call it a miracle. Woody Harrelson, Finn Cole, Last Breath takes you inside a world of deep sea high pressure diving where every decision, every second, every breath is a life or death moment. Incredible performances, amazing visuals, and an uplifting emotional core. You're going to love this really immersive movie Witness the most thrilling motion picture event of the year on the big screen. Get your tickets right now for Last Breath, rated PG-13. Maybe inappropriate for kids under 13. It opens February 28th in theaters everywhere. All right, got a letter from one of our great listeners in Gainesville, Georgia, and this is from Miss Foy. Sent us this very kind letter. Sent it to Miss Cassie, and Cassie passed it along to me. A million thank yous for your personally seeing that the gift book from Todd was mailed to me. It is a great read. That book, by the way, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Please personally thank Todd for me, which she did, by the way, Ms. Foy. Cassie did that this morning. I'm a faithful Christian conservative Republican patriot listener. Oh, that's my kind of people. Also a Southern Baptist. Definitely my kind of people. What a blessing his program is on the airwaves. I look forward to it every day. May God continue to energize, give clarity and wisdom to Todd in his career on radio, TV, and public speaking. I pray for continued good health and enthusiasm from Todd. Bless you in your career path too, Cassie. In his love, I am yours truly. Foy, you know, they don't, Miss Boyd, thank you for this. You know, they don't teach letter writing like they used to back in the day. This is a lovely, lovely letter. And you know the best part about it? It's actually written in cursive. She has incredible, impeccable penmanship. And then there was a lovely Bible verse attached to the letter. So thank you again, Miss Foy. We always appreciate letters from our great listeners all over America. All right, this item from Fox News. This is written by our good buddy Bill Malugin over at Fox. He's been covering the border nonstop, and this is a disturbing issue. We understand that people are leaking information about ICE agents out of ICE headquarters. And now that information is showing up in flyers that are being posted in neighborhoods all over Southern California. The flyers show the names, the pictures, and the phone numbers of Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agents. Multiple federal law enforcement, reading from Bill's piece here, multiple federal law enforcement sources confirmed to Fox News that ICE, anti-ICE activists have been interfering with ICE operations in the Los Angeles area. And they've been posting all of these posters across Los Angeles, and they were written in Spanish. And they translate roughly to careful with these faces. Quote, these armed agents work in Southern California, ICE and HSI, racially terrorize and criminalize entire communities with their policies. They kidnap people from their homes and from the streets, separating families and fracturing communities. Many people have died while locked up in jails, prisons, and detention centers. All of this information on the posters that are popping up, and they're showing the faces of these ICE agents. So we're not going to be sharing this information because we don't want to share the faces or any of the personal information regarding these very important government workers right now. Now, this is dangerous because what's happening, according to Homeland Security, is now you've got MS-13, all of these south of the border gangs, and now they know who these ICE agents are and they know who their families are. You understand what's happening here. This is nothing more than an intimidation act. Now, we understand from Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary, we understand that they are in the process of identifying the leakers and firing the leakers. That's not good enough. These people need to be thrown into jail. You leak this kind of information and you put federal law enforcement officers at risk in jeopardy, you go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $100 or $200. You go directly to jail. That's what ought to happen here. It's getting very ugly out there, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to make sure that these ICE agents, Border Patrol agents know that we've got their back as the deportations continue. But I'm with Tom Homan here. The numbers are just not good enough. We need to be deporting tens of thousands every single day. We've got to do it, folks. We just have to do it. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Hey, don't forget ToddStearns.com. Download our free podcast, newsletter, great resources, terrific stories, and my brand new column is up on that Atlanta megachurch pastor. You got to read that as well. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Show. I've got to tell you about our friends over at Priority Gold. Man, are they crushing it. And they tell me you guys have been lighting up their phones, and I love that. Priority Gold, they are doing some great, great work, ladies and gentlemen. And why is that? Because they're helping diversify your savings, your retirement plans, and they offer a step-by-step roadmap to do that with their free wealth preservation guide, and they want to give that to you free of charge, no strings attached. Again, there's no cost, no obligation, and it's available for instant delivery. It is super simple. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 24999, or you can visit PriorityGold.com to get your free guide today. Text Todd to 24999, and you're going to get your free wealth preservation guide, a step-by-step roadmap to fortifying your savings with gold during what is, I mean, quite frankly, an historic bull run. Just unbelievable. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're doing well today. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax TV. We have a jam-packed show for you tonight, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait for you to be a part of the program. Speaking of Newsmax, I am telling you, it's really remarkable to see the size of the Newsmax audience continue to grow. Tens of millions of people are just turning off Fox and MSDNC, CNN, and now they're turning to Newsmax for breaking information they really need to know. Reuters, by the way, now calling Newsmax one of the top brands in America, and you can find it on every major cable system. Also, your TV, your smartphone store. You can download the Newsmax app for free and start watching today. You're going to get some incredible shows, including mine. You're going to be able to find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump is watching Newsmax. So make the switch today. You can check us out on cable, satellite TV, or again, download that Newsmax app, and you're going to find out why Newsmax is real news for real people. Can we talk about this meltdown over at MSDNC? This is really something beautiful. Just and it's I take no joy in the agony that Joyless Reid is suffering. But a lot of people wonder, how did she even make it this long on cable television? I want you to listen to this this montage the team put together of some of the more outrageous things that Joyless has been spewing over the past couple of years. Cut 14.
The race lady. Why would he call me that? Is this really about me fixating on race, or is it about you fixating on race?
But Donald Trump wants to never let black and brown folk up off the mat.
It's evident what they mean by DEI, right?
Why not just say what you mean? You can't stand black people. We get it. You've been heard.
Are you committed to naming a black woman as your vice presidential running mate?
They wanted to go after the brown people, too, because, of course, that is their other target.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
It's not fashionable to be openly racist anymore in America, unlike what they call the good old days. Only the white Christian men may have the things.
So you own everything that happens to your mixed status families and to your wives, sisters, and abuelas.
Joy.
If you are black plus anything else, you are black. Violent white nationalism that today threatens our national security.
Make a joyful noise.
Don't send any of those invites to any black women you know.
We do have a fascist groundswell in parts of this country, mainly among white men, let's be clear.
I mean, you're also a white guy. Are you saying the we is white folks need more kids?
Joy.
Make your own dinner, MAGA. Make your own sandwiches. Wipe your own tears.
Only God can give that woman the kind of joy she had right there.
Similarities to what happened in Germany and what's happening now in America are just undeniable.
Donald Trump is acting like a Nazi, talking like a Nazi, and now posting like a Nazi.
Like Trump, Hitler was also viewed as a clown, a goon, who could be kept in line after a 4-year break to
you know, learn to accurately quote Adolf Hitler. Right-wingers were saying, get in the oven anytime you made any benign comment on Twitter. Elon Musk, I guess he, you know, he misses the old South Africa in the 80s. He wants that back. Yes, look. Not only is Trump a criminal, he's also someone who is arguably in mental and perhaps even cognitive decline. Yes, Biden is aging. He shuffles when he walks and, like, forgets names and makes gaffes. But he's not incoherent. He can give us a prompter speech.
All right, that's just a smidge, ladies and gentlemen. So the folks over at MSDNC are literally in mourning. Last night they held a wake for Joyless Reid. Rachel Maddow, the last man standing over there, had this to say. Let's listen to cut one, please.
An even bigger programming change is at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, where Joy Reid's show, The Readout, ended tonight. And Joy is not taking a different job in the network. She is leaving the network altogether. And that is very, very, very hard to take. I am 51 years old. I have been gainfully employed since I was 12. And I have had so many different kinds of jobs, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But in all of the jobs I have had, in all of the years I have been alive, there is no colleague for whom I have had more affection and more respect than Joy Reid. I love everything about her. I have learned so much from her. I have so much more to learn from her. I do not want to lose her as a colleague here at MSNBC. And personally, I think it is a bad mistake to let her walk out the door. It is not my call, and I understand that, but that's what I think. I will tell you, it is also unnerving to see that on a network where we've got two non-white hosts in primetime, both of our non-white hosts in primetime are losing their shows, as is Katie Fang on the weekend. And that feels worse than bad, no matter who replaces them. That feels indefensible, and I do not defend it.
Wow. So Mr. Maddow here actually called his bosses racist. This, you can't make this up. You just heard it. Rachel Maddow calling his bosses a bunch of what? KKK, white robe wearing, cross burning racist. I wonder if she's going to have a show tonight. That's insanity. But this is who these people are, folks. And they just don't get it. They just don't get it. May I just say something here about what really happened? And I don't want to be in the business of defending MSDNC. I really don't. But this had nothing to do with race. It had everything to do with Joyless Reid being an insufferable jerk. But more than that, it had everything to do with the ratings. You live by the ratings, you die by the ratings. That's the way it is in radio. That's the way it is in TV. And when the ratings take a plunge, you're lucky to have your job. But when they take a plunge and they don't come back, then you're done. And when you look at Joyless Reid's ratings, I'm just shocked they didn't cancel her years ago. The latest ratings from Nielsen show that she's lost more than 50% of her audience since the election. Understand this, roughly 50, 60,000 people in the 25 to whatever that age demographic is watch Joyless Reid. Overall, about 700,000 people in this great nation of 200 some odd million watch this woman. She had no ratings. She lost her audience. That's it. Her show was so bad that not even liberal Democrats wanted to watch MSDNC. Black, white, didn't matter. That's how bad it was. And here's the thing, and a lot of the conservatives, and I really shouldn't, and this does not help my case by sharing this with you. Because I want every radio station in America to carry this program noon to 3 Eastern. But I'm going to share this word of advice with my fellow conservative talk show host out there. Nobody wants to hear you screaming for 3 hours. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to hear you droning on about the same subject for 3 hours. You got to be entertaining. You got to be fun. You got to be passionate about what you do. And we try to do that every single day on this radio program. Yes, it's okay to be righteously indignant, but you don't need to be screaming about it literally for 3 hours. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it on the left side either. So if MSDNC could somehow be a little clever, okay, maybe they could generate some I don't know, some small audience. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would want to watch that nonsense. But I'm just telling you, that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of these conservative pundits are making, is that they're just screaming at people or being just downright mean. I mean, okay, if that's the way you want to do it, all right, best of luck to you. But we try to have a little bit of fun on this program. All right, we got to take a break on this program, too. We got to pay some bills. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Get the injury special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up a little bit later, Danny Gokey, who is a great, great singer-songwriter, three-time Grammy nominee, is going to join us. Also, we're going to talk to the dad of an Asian-American student. This kid nearly scored a perfect score on his SATs. He had a 4.4 grade point average. And the poor kid was denied. He was rejected from, I think, 18 total schools. He was so brilliant that Google actually hired him right after high school graduation at a PhD level engineering position within the company. But anyway, he's now suing these universities because of their discrimination policies. And they're saying that Asian American kids are being discriminated against. They're being shoved aside for DEI students. So we're going to be talking to the father who founded an organization called Students Who Oppose Racial Discrimination coming up in just a little while. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Dan listening to us in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's going on?
How you doing? I was calling because I didn't know if people knew about this, but Bill Gates' vaccine organization, Gavi, gave $4.9 billion, excuse me, they got $49.9 billion from USAID. And we've already established a lot of these corrupt politicians are tied to USAID. You got the Clinton involved, Obama, right? And Biden. They're all tied to it. And when you look at this, if you look at Breitbart reported this back in December 1, 2023, giving kickbacks to China and leasing a plane from a Chinese at $2 million a year, okay, from a Chinese company, okay. Governor Ron DeSantis, check it out. It was reported December 1, 2023. Washington Examiner backed it up, and the New York Post and South Florida Sun Sentinel all back it up. There's several sources on it. Okay.
So what are you saying here? What is the point you're trying to make, though?
Well, Ron DeSantis, if you go back, President Trump talked about during the primary how he voted against American Social Security and Medicare. He voted for China and TPP. He was bought and paid for when he was a congressman by China. He was backed by Ron the Bushes back then. Because if you go look, you can look this up. In an interview, when he was campaigning...
No, just get to the point. Yeah, Dan, what is the point, though, you're trying to make? Just get right to the point here.
The point here is we cannot have Casey, another DeSantis, in Florida as governor. It's got to be Byron Donald. Guy's unbelievable. America first. He's an A-plus, 100 perfect voter. I mean, guy's unbelievable. I met him several times up in New Hampshire during the primary. Sat and talked to him. The guy's phenomenally economically intelligent. This guy is presidential someday. I'm telling you. I sat down one time with him after President Trump won the primary. Over, I think it was an hour to 2 hours, we sat down at the table just talking politics.
Well, Dan, let me jump in here, and it is going to be a wild race down in Florida, no doubt about that, and it's going to be a DeSantis versus Donald's Donnybrook, so certainly Casey looking at running, and we appreciate your call there. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So, federal workers are getting pretty aggravated right now at Elon Musk. So Elon sent out an email asking them to detail, I don't know, the top five things they had done last week on the job. And there was a lot of blowback. Said that if you didn't turn it in by Monday, you would be fired. Now he's given them somewhat of a reprieve. And Lisa Murkowski over on the Senate side is just outraged over all of this. Cut number 10, please.
The intimidation, if you will, that deliver these five bullets by Monday at noon or you lose your job. Again, if you want accountability, let's ask for accountability, but let's do that through the proper chain.
All right. And so now a lot of the agencies under the Pentagon for one says told their employees, no, you do not fill this out. I'm just, again, bear with me on this. I don't understand what Elon's role is in the administration. Is he the acting president of the United States? Is that what's going on here? Because I don't see how this is connected to what he was assigned to do with DOGE. Now, it seems to me Elon's got his hands full already. They have yet to really, really drill down and discover and find all of the corruption and the wasteful spending. We're talking about trillions of dollars. Elon needs to be focused on that. But now if you're telling me, and bear with me for just a moment on this. So now Elon is putting himself above all of the cabinet secretaries. And Elon is telling all the Pentagon workers, hey, look, you will do this. You will answer to me. You do not answer to Pete Hegseth. And you are going to have to turn in all this information. And Hegseth said, no. We're not doing that. That's not how we're doing this. I control the Defense Department. But there are some in MAGA world who say that Elon should have carte blanche. He should be able to do whatever he wants to do, and that this is his assignment. I got a problem with that. I trust that Pam Bondi is going to be able to root out the corruption in the Justice Department. I trust that Pete Hegseth is going to be able to do that in the Pentagon. I believe that Linda McMahon will be able to do that in the Department of Education, which, by the way, has yet to be dismantled. Just want to point that out. It's February 25th, and we still have a Department of Education in this country. I'm getting a little bit nervous, and I want to tell you why. Because the longer this draws out, and trust me, it's in political terms, we got to get this done quickly. But I'm concerned that if we don't accomplish a lot of this by the midterms, it's not going to get done. And we told you yesterday on the show that it's great that Elon is pointing out all of this wasteful spending, but until Congress, it's up to Congress to deal with this. And I'm not seeing Congress dealing with anything right now. So just pay attention here, folks, and it's going to be a little bit rocky, I'm afraid, but ultimately, this is about Donald Trump completing his vision for America and fulfilling that vision for America. And that vision is not bigger than any one person. So just, again, folks, just pay attention to what's happening in Washington, D.C. And I don't have any sympathy at all for these government workers in these places like USAID, for example. I've got no sympathy for folks like that. But here's the reality. Let's just say that you've been on the job and you're being told you've got to turn in this information, and if you don't, you're going to lose your job. That deadline comes and goes, and then they tell you, okay, if you don't turn in this information, you're going to lose your job. Here's the thing. Stop playing games. If somebody's job is worthless, if there's no need for that position, eliminate the position. Fire the person. We don't need all the theatrical stuff. Let's just get on with it. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm a little aggravated this morning over this because I want to see the mass firings and I want to see the mass slashings of the budget. And we've gotten a taste of it, but we need a lot more. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Our website, toddstearns.com. Go check it out. Lots of information there. We'll be right back, America.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Some of them were certainly expected, you know, Stanford, MIT, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, for some of them, like Cal Poly, some of the state schools, I really thought, you know, I had a good chance.
His name, Stanley Jung, and he and his father just filed a lawsuit against the University of California and the U.S. Department of Education. The Jungs allege that UC is engaging in racial discrimination in admissions despite the law banning the use of race in the process. I want to show the UC statement to us when we inquire. They call these lawsuits meritless, and they also say the UC undergraduate admissions application collects students' race and ethnicity for statistical purposes only. The information is not shared with application reviewers and is not used for admission.
All right, that was a story we told you about yesterday on the program, and it's really shocking. It has been underreported, and we're shining a little bit of light on what's happening to Asian American students all across America who have been victimized by these diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Happy to have you with us. Hour two of the show. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the founder and president of the Students Who Oppose Racial Discrimination, SWORD. You just heard his son. Welcome, Nan Zong, to the program. Nan Zong, so happy to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So I am just astounded by this story. I mean, it sounds like your son is just a super brilliant kid. Tell us what happened. What happened to your son?
Well, honestly, we don't know. We've been asking that question to the UC officials, California state lawmakers, and Governor Newsom for the past year and a half, and none of them even engaged with us for any discussion. So that's probably what's more surprising, more frustrating, and I think more unacceptable than initial rejection.
So Nan, take me back to your son's high school career. I mean, he was a pretty darn good student from what I understand.
Yes, I agree.
All right, so he took the first of all, what was his grade point average?
All weighted, he's had a 3.97 GPA.
Okay, and he did well. I'm assuming on the test scores, did well there.
That's right. Yeah, he took the SAT and scored a 5090 without much preparation.
Wow, that's impressive. So he starts applying to all of these colleges, and how many schools did you apply to, and what happened?
Yeah, he applied to a total of 18 colleges and got rejected by 16 of them, including some of the ones that you heard earlier, Paul Kelly and some of the University of California campuses.
Did they give you guys any explanation, any reasoning?
No. So in the rejection, there was nothing other than you're rejected. So we did try to pursue, hey, this doesn't quite make sense. Nobody thinks this, conforming to common sense. Can you engage in a discussion? That's where we're stuck. We're pursuing that discussion for well over a year, and they have never engaged with us for any meaningful conversation.
So how did you come to realize that this was racial discrimination?
Well, several things pointed to it. First of all, when the story broke news in October 2023, I received a lot of emails from other Asian American parents and students. Their stories are very similar, super strong qualification, getting rejected left and right for no reason anybody can justify. So the patterns start to emerge. It's just not one isolated case. It's a very consistent pattern across a large group of Asian American applicants. And number two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number two, somebody sent me a video. It was a UC Berkeley Law School Dean, Mr. Irvin Chmersky, talking to apparently a large group of students, perhaps in a public talk. I think maybe he's giving a lecture. He was publicly touting that in their faculty hiring, they not only considered race in violation of the California Constitution, but in order to not get into trouble with the law, they actively hide it. They actively conceal any evidence of it. When I watched that video, I was totally shocked. Can you imagine that? A law professor teaching people to break the law and conceal the evidence? That is just absurd. And thirdly, we started digging more around, and we find out all UC campuses actually are actively pursuing a federal program called the Hispanic Serving Institution. And that program mandates 25% enrollment of Hispanic students. And for example, UCLA and UC Berkeley, which are two of the most competitive campuses, most selective campuses in the UC system, and they're not there yet. For example, UCLA is at 21%. And guess what they're going to do to get to 25%? They're going to squeeze other groups out of the admission. And those are the things all point to racial discrimination.
I think you make a pretty good argument there, a pretty good case. And this is a huge problem. And, you know, the root of all of this, the diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, I have to imagine, not only impacting white young men, but Asian American students across the country, Non.
Yeah, what I have trouble with is that I think our Constitution is pretty clear. Individuals should be treated as individuals, not as some member of a group. And that's very clear in our Constitution. I think somehow that's missing on the UC administrator's mind.
You know, you're right about that. And I just don't know where we went awry. But these DEI policies are downright deadly and dangerous. And, you know, when, God forbid, you're on an airplane that, you know, that flips over upside down and is careening down the runway, as happened about a week or so ago. And at that point, you're wondering, oh, wow, I wonder where my pilot got his qualifications. And this is something that everybody in the country is now having to deal with. And the way I see it, it's pretty simple. I want the best person flying that airplane. I want the best engineers building bridges and roads. I don't want somebody who failed basic engineering, right? I want the best and the brightest, Non.
Yeah, I think we should have, for example, in the context of college admission, we should have academic excellence as the primary criteria. Identity politics, I think it should be kept to the minimum. I agree. Our society is not perfect. There are historical things that probably put some groups at a disadvantage. But I think what they're proposing is a cure that's worse than the disease.
Well, I'm with you 1,000%, Non, and we're going to leave it there. I know we're going to have a conversation tonight on my Newsmax TV show, and we appreciate you coming on the radio. And again, folks, the organization, and this is an important organization, Students Who Oppose Racial Discrimination. You guys have a website. How can people get in touch with you if they want to be a part of this?
Yes, they can go to our website. It's sword.education. Education as the full word. So sword.edu/cation.
All right, very good. All right, Non Zong, thank you so very much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there you go, folks. Sword.education is the website, and as hard as it is to just get your head wrapped around, Asian American students across the country, and you heard him say this, when they filed the lawsuit, they just started getting calls from all over the place saying, oh yeah, this happened to my kid, that happened to my kid. When you put it all together, you can understand what's really going on here. And I would love to see a situation where you don't even have race on the application for college. Because as Mr. Zong said, it ought to be about one thing, academic excellence. And I don't know about you, as much as I'm going to get in trouble again, Dieter, and I don't mean to. I mean, we just launched across St. Louis and the entire state of Missouri, and I want to get in too much trouble here, but I don't want a blind guy flying my airplane. I want somebody who's going to be able to see what's coming. Does that make me a bad person? I don't think so. If I own a basketball team, I want to make sure my players have legs. Does that make me a bad person? I don't think so. I'm just saying you can take all of this to the extreme. That's all I'm saying. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're getting to your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go right to the phones. Harmony, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate out there. James, what's on your mind today?
I know you were talking about the women pilots and the Delta accident. I'd like to throw a name out to you, Chelsea Sullenberger. You remember that?
I remember Captain Sullenberger.
The miracle on the Hudson. Now, this man was so experienced, and he had so many years that there's no way that any DEI hire could pull something like that off. These women couldn't even make it down the runway without flipping that plane over. Right?
James, it's, you know, the airline that was responsible for that flight made it a point of having all female crews. That was like a big push. And, you know, by the way, there's a movement afoot to actually change the name cockpit to flight deck because, well, anyway, you can kind of figure out the reason why. But to your point, the question is, were these women hired to fly that airplane because they were the best and the brightest and the most qualified, or was it because they were women and one of them was a beauty pageant winner?
The latter, what you just said.
It's pretty shocking, James. And I hate to say it, but when I get on board an airplane, I want to make sure that the pilot knows how to fly the blasted plane.
Yeah.
And land it, too. And land it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, James, appreciate that call. Let's go to Melissa in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Melissa. What's going on?
Hi. I thought you saw yesterday when the French president was sitting next to Trump in the Oval Office. The president answered that question. Trump said, the fraud is so huge. Let's find out if these emails and employees are legitimate. I mean, for me, Todd, the corporate workforce today and in the past 10 years, I sat next to my coworkers while they were watching movies. I had coworkers during COVID working from home, bragging about taking up painting or some home improvement project during the day. It's about accountability. We, the people, the taxpayers, are trusting that you are doing the work. Every daytime planner has a section for this week's accomplishments. And every good salesman has to write a sales report with their top five accomplishments. It's time for America to get back to work. And are we scared to be held accountable? It can only help us be better stewards of our time and be more effective. And that's my comment, Todd.
Well, no, look, I appreciate your comment, Melissa. And I don't have a problem with whatever that email that went out. I don't have a problem with that. My concern is Elon overstepping, and why does Elon have control over Pete Hegseth or Pam Bondi? You know, let them run their government agencies. Elon needs to focus on the issues at hand. Let the individual secretaries do that. And for that matter, just start firing people. Stop giving deadlines. If somebody's not showing up to work, really, we gave them a month to come back to work, Melissa? How about this? 48 hours. Your butt's in the chair in the cubicle or you're out of here.
Well, I don't know why anybody's afraid of listing their past week's accomplishment. And it all goes back to the Treasury, I would assume, that all these people are being paid by the taxpayers. And that's why, just like when you found in Social Security that there were, that's ridiculous that there's people over 120 years old. God only says we can live perhaps to be 120. And that would be such an obvious thing for any analyst or anybody concerned about if there was accountability, if accounting is being done correctly, to just look and see who is the money going to. People that are over 120 years old, I don't care if it's 10 people in the whole country. That's ridiculous. What a waste. And that is about what DOGE, what I thought DOGE was doing. So I don't have a problem with what Elon.
All right. Okay. Well, good enough. Good enough, Melissa. Look, I appreciate your call. And I've seen this happen before with Republican administrations, and I just want us to focus on the task at hand. And let's stop playing games. Let's stop giving people the deadlines. If you've got deadbeats working in the government, fire them. Just right on the spot, fire them. And if you've got people that are out there exposing ICE agents and their personal information, fire them and then throw their butts in jail. And I want to see a pre-dawn guns-drawn raid, just like they did on all of the pro-lifers. And that's not called payback. That is actually called justice. You got people out there putting out the private personal information of these ICE agents. They know exactly what they are doing. So that's all I'm saying. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So Ben Dieter just brought this to my attention, and this is a shocking story. So we've got the DOJ up the butts of our police department here, And it's causing a big problem. We have great police officers in Memphis, Tennessee. We don't have enough great police officers because we're down, what, 700, 800, 900 from our full complement. And Memphis is a freaking war zone.
Correct.
An absolute war zone.
It's terrible. We're down like almost 1,000, if we're being honest, police officers.
At least 1,000. And it's they're underpaid. They don't have the resources they need. And we've got a mayor, Ben. His name is Paul Young. And this guy got elected with only, what, 28,000 votes, if that?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, hardly. We live in a city of metro area of 1.3 million people. And he won the mayor's race. Nobody went to go vote. And so they tried to convince us that he was some sort of a centrist, a moderate Democrat. This guy is like Jasmine Crockett wearing pants. That's who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we just got word. This is shocking. They're starting a commission. Is that right? Starting a commission to investigate the police department, to reform the police department.
Yeah, this is code for defund the police. Yeah, it's a task force, Todd, to reform the police department because Biden's DOJ came into Memphis and said, all the cops, you're all racist. Ignoring the fact that, Todd, do you want to share the demographics of our city and our police department?
Yeah, the police chief is black. The command staff is black. I think there's one white guy. Overwhelming number of the police officers, the rank and file, are black. Everybody's pretty much black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess they're saying this is black on black crime then, because they're saying that these police officers are beating up black people in Memphis. So they create this task force and they're hiring all sorts of activists to come in and reform our department.
So they just put a person in charge of the task force who is on record saying that she wants to dismantle and defund the Memphis Police Department. If that happens, it's over in our city. It's over. All right, we're going to play some crazy audio. I'd love to hear the thoughts of the Memphis audience. Mayor Young has now hired somebody who wants to defund and dismantle the Memphis Police. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's not necessary for them to have that much money in their budget.
Amber Sherman organized this block party to start a discussion about defunding the Memphis Police Department, reallocating part of MPD's budget and investing it in the community.
Crime would go down and be a deterrent if you actually fund the real root causes of crime, which is, you know, socioeconomic inequality, food deserts, not having a good education.
All right, that is Amber Sherman, who has just been put in charge of a commission that's going to reform the Memphis Police Department. This woman wants to dismantle and defund the police department. Ben Dieter, what are the KWAM listeners saying about this?
They're enraged. And it would be one thing if we had the luxury of being in a safe city, but we're in a city that makes Gaza look peaceful. I mean, Our crime and our homicides are through the roof. So we don't get the luxury of playing around with these social experiments like hiring that woman you just heard to reform the police department. You can't reform people. You literally have gone on record saying you despise and loathe. It's laughable. You have to laugh. Otherwise, you'd cry.
So I want to go on the record here. We have a lot of new listeners in St. Louis. So in addition to hosting a national radio program, I own KWAM News Radio. We actually originate our national show from Memphis in a heavily fortified, heavily armed bunker.
That's true. We have the best locks in this city.
Oh, Ben accidentally dropped a grenade on the way up to the studio. I mean, you got to be prepared. Do we have bazookas? We have surface-to-air missiles on the roof.
Todd's got Kevlar he wears when he gets in his Cadillac.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. And I say that because yesterday, I don't know if you saw the video, there were visitors, out-of-town visitors, and this is my warning. I'm getting right. There's a broader point here. I was, there's this video. There were out-of-town visitors, and we love people, you know, to visit. Tourism is a huge industry here, which is why people are terrified. You know, we don't want people to run away from Memphis. But hear me on this. My city is not safe for you right now. You do not want to bring your family to Memphis on a vacation right now. And the reason why is because these radical activists have completely let loose the criminal element in this city. And I want to give you an example. So these people, I think they're from Arkansas, and they videoed this. They're stuck in traffic, and there is a man wielding an axe, Ben Dieter, and the guy is like attacking another car with the axe. And the play-by-play is a bit profane. We can't play at all. But one of the people said, those people in Memphis don't play around. And it's true.
Yeah, I have a little pocket knife I keep in my glove box.
I think you need a machete.
I know.
And again, there was a big report out. I don't know if you saw this report, the tourism people. You know, they're like, oh, it's the safest city in America. And meanwhile, everybody's like hiding under, you know, chairs because they're afraid of getting shot. And it turns out that the hotels are not filling up. They're having problems. And it's a big deal. And it's all because of the crime. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to address the issue.
You've got to get to the root cause, Todd, of crime.
And you got people like the Amber Shermans of the world. We got to reform the police department. We got to defund and dismantle. No, ma'am. No. What we've got to reform are the people in Memphis, Tennessee. MPD is just fine. Thank you very much. We got to start. Parents, stop raising your kids to behave like animals. Can we have that conversation? Is that too inappropriate to have? But I don't care who you are, where you live, what part of town you live in. Stop raising your kids to behave like savages, running around carjacking people. It's unbelievable. Yeah. What was it? One of the KWAM listeners sent you a note.
Yeah.
What happened?
She's looking for a realtor. So any real estate agents, and we hate to see people leave Memphis, but the population has been declining rapidly, Todd. I mean, in the last 5 years, it's insane what's happening. Just a mass exodus of people leaving Memphis, which is crazy because you have thousands and thousands of people relocating to Tennessee, but they're all going to the Nashville area. This woman asked us if she could find a realtor, said, hey, can you guys at KWAM help me find a real estate agent? Because my son, he was just pumping gas and he was carjacked and they had just moved to the Memphis area. Thought it would be a great place. You got low cost here. It's a pretty affordable place. But the kicker is the son was carjacked. So now she's at her wit's end putting the house on the market.
You know, the truckers and some long-haul truck drivers were sharing this intel with me. The long-haul truck drivers tell each other, do not stop for gas in Memphis. You want to stop outside of the city limits, either in Arkansas or if you're going to, you know, get into Mississippi or head up Interstate 40, but don't stop in Memphis. It's just too dangerous. I mean, these are the real-time conversations that people are having. And if this happens, if they really do move to dismantle and defund the police department, then it's going to be over for Memphis, Tennessee. The mayor is already literally inviting gang members into City Hall. You think I'm making this up, Ben, but I'm not, right? I mean, he's invited gang members in for what? Tea and crumpets.
Yeah, yeah. The Blood and the Crips. They got an invite to the mayor's suite.
We've never been invited.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
We don't have enough tattoos. We'll work on that. But anyway, this is a lesson to every other major city in America. Don't mess around. Don't play around with your police department. You need to have a fully funded police department or else your city will be turned into a war zone. We really are Mogadishu on the Mississippi here. I mean, that's what Memphis has become. And it's shameful. And this mayor, he's no moderate. He is a radical leftist. He is a Jasmine Crockett Ilhan Omar AOC leftist. And I feel bad for you folks, but part of me doesn't, because you people were so lazy. You sat on your asses and you didn't go and vote on election day. And you get what you deserve.
They voted for soul and swagger. And this is what it looks like.
They got death and destruction. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Do we have bulletproof windows in the fortified bunker? Ben, could you check on that?
Yes.
901-260-5926. Right, let's go to the phone lines. Ron in Youngstown, Ohio. Ron, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to ask a while back I heard a guy tried to tell me that if you voted for Trump, it's going to sound so silly by tongue side, that if you voted for Trump, that automatically gave you the mark of the beast. In the Bible I read says that that's going to be a choice you're going to have to make when it's common practice to have that mark to buy and sell.
Wait a second. So this guy said that if you voted for Donald Trump, that means you've got the mark of the beast, or you're going to get the mark of the beast?
No, you got the mark.
You've got the mark of the beast. All right. Well, I thought it was like, I don't know, in all the Book of Revelation movies I've seen, I mean, isn't that like some sort of a mark, like a barcode, and you have to, it's like in your hand? I don't know.
I thought it was three sixes, but it might be a barcode.
Oh, okay.
But it's the idea. The Bible says that it's going to be that way when that's the only way you can buy and sell is with that mark. And right now, you don't have to have a mark to buy and sell.
Well, because nobody's got any money to buy anything. Let me ask you something here, Ron. I'm intrigued by this. So what did you tell this guy? So this guy's telling you this, and what? How did you respond to this news?
I doubted it, and I forget what I responded, but it was to the effect that I doubt that because what I just said, the Bible says that'll be when this is common practice, and it isn't common practice right now. Oh, he says that his address over there in New York City, Trump Tower, is 666. So that's why by voting for him, that you get the mark of that if you voted for him, you get
So you're telling me that Trump Tower on beautiful Fifth Avenue, by the way, that's the location where Trump said he could walk out into the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would care. You're telling me that he told you the address was 666 Fifth Avenue?
Well, that's what he said.
He's 666. Ron, that is not true, Ron. I want you to go back to this person, and you've got to tell him that the actual address of Trump Tower is 725 Fifth Avenue in New York City. And the zip code, in case he says, oh, the zip code is 10666, no, sir, it's 10022. I think this guy's yanking your chain, Ron.
Believes he's a man of God. That's the best part.
Is he a Democrat? Who did he vote for?
You said it without me answering the question.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Ron. Hey, I appreciate the call, but I think you're safe. There's nothing to worry about here. Donald Trump is not the Antichrist, and he does not live at 666 Fifth Avenue. I will say this, though. The building is 663 feet tall. Could it be Satan? Yeah, I don't think so. 901-260-5926. So let's go to our resident theologian, Toad Suck Scott. Toad Suck, what say you?
I'm sorry, Tom. I feel. That guy was great, but listen, I voted for Trump. I don't have no 666 on my forehead or my hand, so I don't know where that's coming from. But anyway,
I gotta tell you, I'm gonna need a little vacation down at the Gulf of America. That's what I need.
Gulf of America, go with it, baby. Hey,
all right.
Tell me, can you give me back to Ben? Because I had won a book from you and never got it.
Oh, well, we'll take care of that lickety-split. Hang tight there, Toad Suck. Don't go anywhere, and we'll get that taken care of. All right, we got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A couple of big holidays coming up, and I want to talk to you about these. We got Mother's Day, and we've got Easter. And you need to be finding something for that special someone in your life. May I recommend something from our good friend Mike Lindell? It's the beautiful My Cross. You've seen Mike wear this. He was over at CPAC. He was over at the White House, and he was wearing his beautiful My Cross. It's his own design, and they come in both men's and women's styles. And best of all, they're made right here in the USA. And I want you to get yourself get one of these beautiful My Crosses. It's this jewelry is like unlike anything I've ever seen, and it's just absolutely beautiful. I want you to go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and use my promo code, my last name, Starnes, and they're going to give you some great, great discounts. Or you can give them a call, 1-800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code Starnes. And remember that $75 free shipping rule? Yeah, that's gone. You're going to get free shipping right now. We'll be right back.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle
player too." All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That's you want to talk about 666. I think it's that church in Atlanta. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Craig in Georgia. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I understand you lived in Manhattan or Brooklyn for quite a while, right?
I did. I lived in downtown Brooklyn. Yes, sir.
Okay. You remember the big building in Manhattan? I want to say it was on Broadway, but it had the three red sticks on top of it.
What on top of it? Your phone connection is not too good there, Craig.
Oh,
what did it have?
Out in the sticker, 666 on the top, like the address, the 666. Do you remember that building? Did you ever notice that?
You know, I don't think I noticed it. I mean, there is a 666 building. It's over on Fifth Avenue, but I don't recall the numbers actually being on the rooftop.
They were right around the like the pair of whatever you call it, named not paraquat, but anyway, anyway, around the rim of the top, and it was on the corner of one of the faces, and it was red sixes, and I always thought, why would you flaunt that? Why would you flaunt that? I think the guy that called previously might have been referring to that building, but the interesting thing is, it is connected to the Kushners.
Now, so this is interesting, because the Kushners wanted to buy that building, and one of the concerns they had was, in fact, the address. And so part of the purchase agreement, they wanted to change the name or the actual address to 660 instead of 666.
Okay. I was back there in the late 80s, so maybe they made some progress on that.
Yeah, they bought it back, I think it was in 2007 when they originally bought it. That would be the Kushner family, so.
Okay, well, that settles that then. Okay, great. Okay.
All right.
Good. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Craig,
thank you, sir.
I'm glad you did. Thank you for calling in. You never know. You know, Dieter, whenever a conversation veers off into Mark of the Beast territory, it's sort of anything goes at that point.
Yeah, yeah. It turns from the Todd Starnes Show to the next sequel of the Left Behind series real quick.
I just want to be in an airplane. You know, that was the part of the movie that terrified me about Left Behind was when in the airplane, right?
I think that's when I first gave my heart to Christ, when I watched that. Not kidding. I called my parents into my room. I was like, I just stumbled across this on Netflix, and I'm going to need to talk to Jesus.
I don't want to be left behind. I'm just saying, that's not good. Do we need to go hire personal security? Is that the point now in Memphis that if you've got the money, you'd either need to be living in a gated community or you need to have a private security force?
Todd, I thought you did have a big, massive private security detail.
Well, it's Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you.
Miss Cassie.
You, Dieter. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hire some people.
Well, it's ironic because the mayor who's issued this declaration, basically gutting the police department, he lives in a gated community. So the city goes out, but he's fine because he's behind the gates.
You know what? Here's the thing. I would not be surprised. And you know how it is with the seasonal thing. It's really cold, really hot. Wouldn't be surprised if there might be a blue flu coming in the ranks of the Memphis Police Department. Folks, maybe just staying home en masse. You know, that spreads quickly. But the city hall is they're playing around here, and that's going to end very ugly for the city of Memphis, I'm afraid. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. What a mess. What a mess and a lesson for every other major city. You folks in St. Louis, pay attention to what's happening downriver from you in Memphis, Tennessee, and don't let that happen in your city. By the way, want to welcome all of our new St. Louis listeners, Real Talk Radio Network, and we're just so honored to be a part of the team there. I know many of you called in last night. Of course, our show airs in St. Louis from 9 until 11 o'clock, so we couldn't pay Ben overtime. It would have been time and a half. So if you want to call in, we encourage you to do that, but you have to do that during the live show, which is noon to 3 Eastern. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next. Danny Gokey joining us. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And, of course, we take your calls live during the noon to 3 Eastern time version of the Todd Stearns radio program. Now, by the way, those of you who might be listening to us in a city at a radio station where they don't carry us live, you can still send us a shout-out, which is the same thing. It's a recorded message. You say, Todd, how can I do that? It's very simple. Just download my free app, go to toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to see all the app information there. We don't share your information. We don't charge you, but it's a great app, and you can listen to the show there. But you can also send us a shout-out, which is what many of you folks do. I know Mark from the Villages, one of our regular callers, does a terrific job of sending us shout-outs. So please feel free to take advantage of those great opportunities. All right. Interesting story sent to us by Ben Dieter. And Dieter, I find this is your generation, the headline from CNBC, Gen Z battling with phone anxiety, and they're taking telephobia courses to learn the lost art of a call.
They just need to work on this show. Can we train them? No, this is actually a college course, Todd. Like, you can get credit for this. You need so much credit, you get a credit for taking phone calls.
So apparently there is a brand new fear. You know, there are a lot of phobias out there. And there is a brand new phobia that has developed among Generation Zers, and it's called telephobia. That is the fear of phone calls. Is this real?
No, it's totally real. If you were to pull and survey maybe 10 kids off the side of the street and ask them, do you get anxiety? Do you get are nervous when you have to pick up the phone and not text? You can't text because everybody just texts. And you have to phone call. They would say that they have anxiety or anxiousness or even a phobia, fear of making a phone call. It's very common.
They interviewed Liz Baxter, who's a career advisor at Nottingham College. That's across the big pond. And here's what Liz had to say. Gen Z simply have not had the opportunity for making and receiving phone calls. It's not the main function of their phones these days. Oh, let me stop here for a moment. If that's not the main function of a phone, what is the main function of a phone?
To text. To snap.
Well, she says we automatically default to texting, voice notes, and anything except actually using a telephone for its original intended purpose. And so people have lost that skill. That's fascinating. So these are people between the ages, well, that you were born between 1997 and 2012. So that's you, Dieter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't realize you were that young.
No, I'm old. But okay. No, I would fall within those years.
She goes on to say that in a class of 25 to 30 students, she would imagine at least three quarters of them will experience and admit to anxiety about not using their telephone. So the phone rings. Is that why you people never answer my phone calls?
Literally, you're staring across the way at two Gen Zers that were shaking our head like crazy.
Oh, I know.
Nobody, just text.
I thought that was me. I thought I was the only person with that problem.
No, it's a phobia, Todd.
Is there a solution? Well, I would say just pick up the phone and answer it. The phone's not going to bite you. Oh, here we go. Baxter says, this is a really long story. Baxter says, phones don't have to be scary. Well, it depends on who's on the other line, right?
That's true.
She said, the great thing about phone calls and audio calls is that you can cheat. You can use Post-it pads. You can write yourself cheat notes. The non-visual aspect of a telephone call can actually work in a student's favor when it comes to supporting them to come up with the right answers. What is this nonsense? Have we coddled an entire generation of people where now you people are afraid to answer the phone? Ben, pick up. I'm trying to call you. She suggests writing a little script. Think about what you're going to say. That can help to minimize your anxiety. Ladies,
I have totally done this, by the way. I've written out an entire phone call and read it verbatim like a teleprompter.
Is that, you see, I got to tell you, there was a couple of weeks ago and I got a call. I did get a call from you. And that always makes me nervous because I'm like, okay, what's wrong? Right? Because you don't answer the phones.
Dead in a ditch. I've been shot on I-240.
No, but then you, I mean, your voice was weird. It was like kind of robotic. Hello, Todd. This is Ben Dieter, and I'm going to be calling in sick today. Thank you very much. And I thought, it sounds like it was just written out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering. Got to work on your delivery a little bit. Put some theatrics into it. We got to call our trivia guy, Pettit, and he can give you some pointers on theatrics.
Yeah.
Hello, Todd. I'm a little parched today. I'm not feeling well.
Well, I'd rather just shoot you a text, right, that I'm out sick, I'm taking off a week of work, and I could just send you a text, but that's never worked as well as a phone call. You guys tend to like a phone call.
Yes, because it's the proper thing to do. Okay. That's what humans do. We communicate. The seminar also encourages students to breathe in deeply, hold their breath, let it out slowly, and then notice the resulting difference in slowing your heartbeat and making you feel calmer. Kind of like that preacher. Oh, my word. Ladies and gentlemen, are you finding this to be the case with your Gen Zers? And Gen Z, if you're listening, I encourage you to call, but you don't use phones. Send us a shout out.
Can they Snapchat the show? Because I bet they would Snapchat you. If they could Snapchat their commentary to what you're talking about today, they would do that.
Just write it out and then deliver it into the shout-out function on the app.
No, but I've totally noticed this. It's not even with phone calls, Todd. I book through a lot of young people that work on Capitol Hill. Capitol Hill is staffed by a lot of Gen Zers. And I always know when I'm talking directly to the boss, a.k.a. the congressman or congresswoman, as opposed to their staff. Because their staff will text in like abbreviated terms. They don't, instead of spelling out U, Y-O-U, they'll just use the letter U instead. And it's all these short codes and these quick text things that you just get very familiar with if you're a young person. And then you get a text from their boss, like a congressperson, and it's so official. It's like, sincerely, signed, congressman. And it's like a totally different language.
I feel like that all the technology has made us more of an uncivilized society. You know, I'm sitting here and we're having this conversation and I still have this beautiful handwritten letter that was placed into an envelope written in cursive and mailed to me through the post office by the lovely Miss Foy of Gainesville, Georgia. I don't believe I've ever gotten a letter in the mail from anybody under the age of 50. I really don't. According to the survey, this is just fascinating to me. Gen Z's anxiety around responding to phone calls stems from a fear of the unknown. Well, what are they talking about? We got caller ID. I know who's calling.
No, that's totally true, though. It's terrifying.
Whenever you called, the words power throw pop right up on my, and I'm like, oh, it's Ben. It's Ben Dieter. Hey, Ben. How's it going? They associate the ringing with fear. She said, Baxter's talking here. I don't know who's on the end of it. I don't know how to deal with it. A survey of 2,000 British adults found that almost a quarter of 18 to 34-year-olds never pick up phone calls. Okay, that's about 100% in this building. Around 61% of the age group prefer to receive a message rather than an audio call. Over half of 18 to 24-year-olds think an out-of-the-blue phone call means bad news, while 48% prefer to communicate using social media.
Todd, when you call me, it's like hot potato. I just throw the phone to the nearest standing person, employee. This morning, 6:30 in the morning, I get a phone call by none other than Todd Starnes. I think there's a mass shooting. I'm like, oh no, he's delivering bad news. I'm like, Cassie, take the call. She's like, no, I don't want to take the call. It's too early for a Todd call. Then I hand it to Dill. Dill doesn't want to take the call. No one wanted to take the call, and you're a great boss and everything, but I get the fear of getting a phone call from, it's a phobia. Now, we ended up taking the phone call, and you had some important things you had to share, and you were pretty polite. I'll give you that.
I was very polite. I have good phone manners. There are some people I call, what? What do you want? I'm like, well, hello. How are you? I'm fine. What do you want? You know who I'm talking about, too. Anyway, I'm curious. Are you guys suffering from telephobia? This is a new phone anxiety disease that is apparently afflicting Gen Zers. Your generation is.
You're laughing, but it's so true, and it's rude of you to be laughing. Dylan, I'm handing the microphone to Dylan. Do you not get this same fear sometimes, Dill?
I haven't answered one phone call this year.
Hold on. I'm about to call you and laugh into the phone.
It's going right to voicemail. Send me a message.
No, it can't go to voicemail because your voicemail is full, Dylan.
It's true.
Delete some messages. We got serious problems with this generation. We need to just send everybody back. We need to start over. Can we do a do-over for an entire generation? Is that possible? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
So I have four Gen Z daughters who try to refuse to make their own doctor's appointments, and I won't do it for them. I've had to sit down and tell them what to say, how to say it, and how to be calm about it. I just don't understand these kids at all.
Yeah, I don't either. That's Samantha listening to us in Bartlett, Tennessee on KWAM, our flagship radio station. This story out of CNBC that Generation Z, so your kids, your grandkids, are dealing with something called telephobia. So that it's a fear of answering the phone and talking to people.
I at first thought you were talking about Teletubby phobia. Little Teletubby.
Now, those things creep me out.
I do have a phobia of a Teletubby.
Which one's the gay one? Was it the purple one? I forget. No, seriously. Was it Jerry Falwell? Was it? Pat Robertson?
There was a gay Teletubby?
Hold on. Yes, it was.
Does everything have to be gay? What on earth?
Oh, it was Tinky Winky. Yeah,
of course.
Jerry Falwell, the former leader of the Moral Majority and, of course, founded the great Liberty University, Jerry Falwell wrote that Tinky Winky's features indicate that he may be gay.
Now, you got me at Bert and Ernie, but this might be taking it too far.
Well, critics started noticing that Tinky Winky carried a bag that looked like a woman's handbag.
Oh.
And also was wearing like a tutu.
Mm.
So I guess.
Showing some signs.
Gender neutral, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. It's those conversations. Well, this is the headline from back in the day, Slate Magazine, Jerry Falwell and Tinky Winky, the gay Teletubby.
We lived through that timeline. That's insane.
It's, I just can't.
No, but.
But, Ben Dieter.
Okay.
But, let's fast forward to the year of our Lord, 2021. Here's the headline. The Teletubbies embrace pride more than two decades after gay Tinky Winky scandal. We knew it all along.
Tinky Winky came out of the closet.
You pearl-clutching Tinky Winky.
So Mr. Falwell was vindicated in the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Jerry Falwell was right all along. By the way, what about Bert and Ernie? No, it's too soon.
What about Barney?
We can't talk. Well, Barney's just weird. No, but those Teletubbies, they just creeped me out. It was the faces and the, I don't know, it's all very strange. They look like alien beings.
Yeah. Very strange.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right. So, no, yeah. So yes, I do. It's okay to have a phobia of Teletubbies, but not telephones. I just don't understand that.
All right.
Michael Moore wanting to know whether we're deporting migrants who could cure cancer or stop the asteroid that's going to hit us in 2032.
Like, I saw that headline and I thought it was parody.
Oh my God, it's an asteroid! No, that's just Michael Moore coming down the sidewalk. You're good. You've still got a couple of years. So look, here's the thing. Let's just say that the illegal is going to stomp the asteroid. Can they not do that in Mexico? Why do they have to be in America? I mean, the asteroid will impact both sides of the border. So I'm not sure I like that argument.
So what his argument is, we're deporting illegals and those illegals could cure cancer. And so cancer will be incurable because we have tough border policy. Right. But aren't these the same people, Todd, that don't want the really smart people from, I don't know, Finland? They're upset that the Finns are coming over and immigrating to this society because we need more people from that country, more people from the Middle East. But some of those people overseas, even some from the Middle East, they can cure cancer.
Yeah, I want those people over here.
Yeah.
All right, come on over. All right, what say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Going through the stack of stuff here, this segment. Ben Dieter, were you the favorite child? You're the third. You have two siblings.
Yeah,
you have a brother and a sister.
Brother and a sister. Were you the favorite child?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that I was the youngest child, so I got more attention than my older siblings. There is something called a youngest child complex, and same is true for a middle child or an oldest child.
Well, there's actually a survey out there, and a lot of people say, I don't have a favorite child. I love them all.
I've never believed that. That's the teacher that says, I don't have a teacher's pet. Yeah, you do.
You do have a favorite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know who you're like, you know, your mom, your dad, they kind of like, you just connect differently. There's nothing wrong with it, I don't think. Except that, you know, you're a bad parent.
They just lie about it. That's the problem. Just own up and say, my older brother was your favorite child. He was.
I don't think you can do that until later in life. You can make that admission, right?
Well, we knew all
along. I hate to break this to you.
No, I was actually the favorite. I think I was coddled because, you know, I was the first. So
we would agree with that.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
You can tell. I can't answer
the phone. So wait, you're the favorite child and not your sister?
I think so.
Really?
I'm biased towards me, though.
I wouldn't have guessed that. That could be good parenting, though. You don't know. There's a new study out, though, and it says that you probably do have a favorite child. And that gender, birth order, and a child's temperament can shape whether a child receives preferential treatment. Yeah, I could see that with you, Dylan. You were kind of easygoing.
Yeah.
Happy-go-lucky. Ben, I bet you're a handful.
I was a hellion. I was a demon. I was not the favorite.
Were your parents on first name basis with the folks down at Juvie?
No, they got every book by Dr. What was it? James Dobson and Focus on the Family on how to raise a kid.
Oh, beat them. Get the belt.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you buy into this that, yeah, moms and dads, you do have a favorite child? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. All right, David, Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. David, do you have a favorite child?
No. And I, you know, when I can't even think of your co-person there. I listen to him all the time. I can't
Ben Dieter. Right, Ben Dieter.
Yeah, when he says that everybody does it but they're lying, that usually tells me that they've been probably in a situation or they've seen it where there is a favorite child. But I would say this. In other words, all parents should love all of their children equally, but each child is different. And so in the circumstances they go through when they're little, the birth order, their teenage years, all that, even the adult years, that sometimes comes with different complications, different things like that. But that doesn't mean, that just means that you work through those situations. But that doesn't mean that you have a favorite. I mean, you can look in the Bible and see what can happen when you have somebody that loves one son more than the other and the jealousies and all that kind of thing. But I would just say, you know, it's okay if you have the opinion that, and I'm sure there are some people that.
Well, let me ask you a question here, David. Is there, how many kids do you have?
We have four boys.
You got four boys. So I don't have kids, so this is why I'm asking this question. Was there a moment, David, as I'm asking this question, I shouldn't ask this question, but I got to know.
No, it's okay.
So was there a moment, like when the kids are young, when you realize, uh-oh, that one's going to give us problems? Maybe I should ask Dieter. Dieter's here.
I have two older stepsons, and I have two that's biologically mine. But I love them. I mean, and now they're like 30, 35 to 50. I mean, they're in that range.
So they're old enough to take it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? At the same time, I don't think I actually tried to say, okay, this is going to be much tougher. Now, when they hit teenage years, depending on the situation, you go through that tough, you know, you know, there's a tough thing there, but I don't ever remember saying, well, and I see it in grandkids now where, you know, one is just very, one is very just easygoing.
And the other is the spawn of Satan.
They're all different. But that to me doesn't mean that you, and you, I don't think as a parent you should let yourself love them more than someone else, even though you learn to adjust and love them, you know, they're all different. So you just have to love them differently, but not. Preferential treatment more than the others.
David, you sound like a great dad, and I think your sons are lucky to have you there. So it's a fascinating conversation because, you know, people always say, oh yeah, you know, you're the favorite, but as you said, you love your kids all the same. David, thank you for calling and thank you for listening to KWAM. Let's go to Alan in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Alan, what say you?
Well, as a realist, Todd, and having raised three that are adults now with children, I think the real way to approach this is to say that some point in each one of their lives, they're going to all disappoint you. So your feelings for each one of them fluctuates with whatever they've done that makes you go, what? Whenever they're a teenager or a young adult, wow. Or even when they're 9 years old and shoot the BB gun through the window of your new truck.
Uh-oh. It sounds like you know something of personal experience there, Alan.
Yeah, that sounded very personal.
Very specific. Very specific.
But each child is so different. You just, you know that at some point you're going to get a little bit upset at each and every one of them for something or be disappointed, and especially if they came through the public school system. They're going to do something that makes you go, where did you hear that?
Mm. Fair enough. I remember when I was a kid, I'm embarrassed to say I did this. You know, my parents were more like, here's a book and read it. They didn't want to sit down and, you know, have those uncomfortable conversations with the kids. So they gave us books. And I remember I actually tried to trade my books for some baseball cards, like in fifth or sixth grade. There were some interesting photos in those books. So anyway, I got in trouble because it was a great trade, but we had to trade back. So unfortunately, look, Alan, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Dieter, I have to imagine that was, you know,
no, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You have saved my hide.
Really?
I used to be a little bit woke. All right. And I would go round and round with my parents. I've always been very political. I remember having a conversation with my dad about gun rights because I had went to college and I had gotten quote unquote educated. And I've done a 180. Like the older I've gotten, the more mature. And I would thank you for some of that because you gave me my first job in news. And so instead of working at like an NPR, I've worked for the Todd Starnes Show. And now my parents adore me. Back in the day, my dad thought I was just an idiot. Now my dad and mom were just in Memphis. You signed a book for them. You signed multiple books, gave them to my parents. My parents were like, this is your boss. And now I feel like I'm becoming their favorite again because they know I'm preaching the gospel with you. The gospel of, well, Republican politics. I'm not a pastor, but.
Preach it, brother. I like that.
Yeah. So I'm climbing the ladder, and it's because I've gotten more politically logic. I'll say that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You're my favorite now.
Okay.
Okay. We want to play some audio here. By the way, this is from the White House press briefing. It is underway. And Caroline Leavitt, you know, this is, you got to love Caroline. So for the longest time, it was the White House Correspondents Association that got to decide which journalists got to ask questions of the president. Not anymore. Now, Caroline Leavitt announcing just moments ago that the White House press pool will actually be determined by the White House press team. And that means you're going to have more diverse groups that are a part of that, not just the legacy media types. That is a terrific move. Also, some questions about Elon Musk and whether or not he's going to be at the first cabinet meeting. Is that right, Dieter?
Yeah, a lot of people are really upset that Elon Musk could be, in fact, at Trump's first cabinet meeting, and he's not a cabinet member. And so she put the kibosh on that, and I think she's really trying to make it clear that Trump and Elon are in step. They are working on the same team because everybody is trying to clearly pit them against each other.
All right, let's listen to that audio.
Carolyn, I was wondering if, is Elon Musk going to attend the president's first cabinet meeting tomorrow?
He is, as a matter of fact. I spoke to the president about that before coming down here as well. And Elon, considering he is working alongside the president and our cabinet secretaries, this entire administration, will be in attendance tomorrow just to talk about DOGE's efforts and how all of the cabinet secretaries are identifying waste, fraud, and abuse at their respective agencies. We look forward to the meeting tomorrow, and I think you'll be hearing from the president and his cabinet. We're there on campus tomorrow. I hope you guys are excited.
I'm kind of excited. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, here's Caroline talking about the new rules for the White House pool.
As you all know, for decades, a group of D.C.-based journalists, the White House Correspondents Association, has long dictated which journalists get to ask questions of the President of the United States in these most intimate spaces. Not anymore. I am proud to announce that we are going to give the power back to the people who read your papers, who watch your television shows, and who listen to your radio stations. Moving forward, the White House press pool will be determined by the White House press team. Legacy outlets who have participated in the press pool for decades will still be allowed to join, fear not, but we will also be offering the privilege to well-deserving outlets who have never been allowed to share in this awesome responsibility. Just like we added a new media seat in this briefing room, legacy media outlets who have been here for years will still participate in the pool, but new voices are going to be welcomed in as well. As part of these changes, we will continue the rotation amongst the five major television networks to ensure the president's remarks are heard far and wide around this world. We will add additional streaming services, which reach different audiences than traditional cable and broadcast. This is the ever-changing landscape of the media in the United States today. We will continue to rotate a print pooler who has the great responsibility of quickly transcribing the president's remarks and disseminating them to the rest of the world. And we will add outlets to the print pool rotation who have long been denied the privilege to partake in this experience, but are committed to covering this White House beat. We will continue to rotate a radio pooler and add other radio hosts who have been denied access, especially local radio hosts who serve as the heartbeat of our country. And we will add additional outlets and reporters who are
All right, we're good. So, by the way, Dieter, we could sign you up and you could be a pool reporter.
Do I get Caitlin Collins' seat? Only if I get to take Caitlin's seat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You've just got to have ferocious eyebrows. Look at a little woolly. What do they call them? Those woolly bugs.
Yeah.
Woolly worms.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I had to do pool reporting duty once, and it's a little nerve-wracking because literally you are documenting every single thing that's happening down to the timestamp, and then you have to disseminate all that information to the rest of the press corps. So that's what that pool report is, when only a handful of reporters are able to tag along. So it's, I mean, I get it. I'm excited about that, but you also need to make sure that you're not sending a talk show host into the pool, right? Because they're going to have to take copious notes and get that intel back.
I could take copious notes.
I know you could do that. I'm all over that. I think that would be great. Oh, by the way, Jasmine Crockett has some things to say about Elon Musk, Mr. Dieter.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say?
F off.
That's it.
Wow. What a class act there.
Yeah.
What the mouth on that one.
Yeah, really bringing decorum to Washington.
Jasmine Crockett, Rhodes College alum. You know, that
I
she
think
is
secretly she likes Elon. Same with AOC. They're obsessed with him.
Oh,
he's like, I'm busy. I've already got 14 baby mamas. I can't pick up two more. Stop.
He's got a lot of baby mamas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of
babies.
Kids. Have you seen all of them? There's a big photo, like, of Elon and all the offspring.
The family grid tree.
No women were there, though. None of the baby mamas were allowed. I don't know what that's all about, but there are a lot of them. How many
feels
kids?
Feels very biblical.
He's
does
got
it
like
not?
12 kids or so. He's got a lot of kids.
It's like the tribes of Judah.
There's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
The tribes of Elon. I'm just saying. All right. There you go. Let's go to the phones. Jerry in Iowa, KXEL, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
No, this is Elon Musk calling, Todd, and you're fired.
Oh,
so how's that for phone trauma?
Thank the good Lord. I'm traumatized. I'm never answering the phone again, Jerry.
It's Jerry, I admit it. But, Todd, you are showing how tough guys can operate answering the phone, and it doesn't have to be that scary. Although, I must say it's a little ironic that you have assigned Gen Zers to answer the phone. I mean, it's not exactly child abuse, but it's young adult abuse, and you are giving them PTSD, by the way. So, but that's not why I called.
That is a great observation, Jerry. I'm sure HR will be calling me momentarily. Oh, what happened to Jerry? I think we may have lost Jerry. Jerry, I'm
did a Gen Zer just drop Jerry for that comment?
I think so. It was a great point, though. Jerry, give us a holler back if you can. We may have to put Jerry in tomorrow.
Todd, you're doing the Lord's work, though, because all of the Gen Zers that are afraid to get on the phone and maybe have this phobia of phone calls, they have to screen all the phones and the listeners of the Todd Stern Show.
That's true.
So you're helping
So we're
us.
Helping people.
It's
we're
exposure
helping them.
Therapy.
That, what, exposure therapy?
That's what it is.
Is that what they call it?
You just got to do it.
I call it suck it up, buttercup. How about that? You want a job? Answer the phone. Pick up the phone. All right. 901-260-5926. Our number, 901-260-5926. Look, we've seen the stories, right? No doubt about it. A lot of conservatives out there, you guys have been debanked, or your bank just doesn't really care about you. By the way, my bank, and I can't tell you which one it was. I was one of those big bank customers, and they thought I was Mexican. So all of my statements came in Spanish, and I didn't know if I had pesos in my account or not. It was crazy. So that's one of the reasons why I have joined Old Glory Bank. They're just a wonderful, wonderful group of folks, a bank co-founded by Dr. Ben Carson and Larry Elder and John Rich, FDIC insured. That means they're going to protect you, your privacy, your security, your liberty, and most importantly, your money. So I want you to go check them out, oldglorybank.com/starns. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. Go check them out today. Do a little bit of research on them, and consider opening an account, putting your money in the hands of people you can actually trust. That's oldglorybank.com/Starnes. All right, coming up tonight on my Newsmax show, we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got Congressman Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin joining us. He's going to be weighing in on the governor's decision to replace the term mother with inseminated person. That's going to be a pretty news. That's going to make some news. Dr. Carol Swain is going to drop by. Also, we mentioned Nan Zong, who was just on the show, and he's going to join us again. And Congressman Josh Brekeen from Oklahoma, member of the Doge Caucus, also on Homeland Security. So we've got a jam-packed show coming up for you later on today on Newsmax. You know, Ben, I'm just not understanding these leftists. It just seems to me to go after our sweet mothers and compare the, I mean, they're basically saying our mothers are just like livestock. You got to get the turkey baster and, you know, squirt, squirt.
The visual was not helpful, first of all.
No.
So I just wonder if, like, the moms that love their cheese and red wine in Wisconsin are staging protests right now. It's like, I don't think of Wisconsin being, they would totally do this in Los Angeles. They would do this in Manhattan. But Wisconsin? And it's this old white dude. You know, I expected more from him.
He's in his 70s.
Yeah, a little weird.
He said, they're taking my comments out of context. No, sir, they're actually not. You're the one who wants to replace mother with inseminated person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only people that can be happy here are the Hallmark greeting card people.
Yeah, exactly. They get to rebrand all of their cars.
I want to say something about this. And I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, Ben Dieter, but I'm going to. I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say that no Southern governor would ever do anything like this. I don't care if they're Republican. I don't care if they're Democrat. No Southern governor would do anything like that to his mother.
No.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because you would have a mob of Southern mamas showing up at the state capitol with cast iron skillets in one hand and a shotgun in the other. You don't mess around with mamas. Not in the South.
No. Can you imagine, though, a boy from the South walking up to their mom and saying that? I don't even like to say it.
She'd slap you to next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. That's our mamas. You don't talk about our mamas like that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Love your mamas, America. Love your mamas. All right, folks, it's been a great day. Tomorrow, President Trump. Meeting with the cabinet. Elon's going to be there. We'll talk about all of that and a whole heck of a lot more. All right, folks, head over to toddstearns.com. Download our podcast. Download our free newsletter. You're going to love it. Great resources for you. Get out there. Have a great day, and you be good, America.